Well, good morning, and I think you have picked up this morning, or I hope you have, that we as Gideons enjoy our work with the working with them, and it's great to be able to go into schools and various places and to give away the New Testaments that we mainly give. I remember being pulled up by one of the pastors in the Kent area when I was doing some work trying to engage some new Gideons into the branch before we moved away, because we were in the Gravesham area, which was part of the Medway branch, and when we, Gene and I, moved away, there would be no Gideons in that area, and there was something like about 14 schools. So I spent quite a lot of time going around with Stuart Walker for a couple of days, and then carried on my own. And I went to most of the pastors and church leaders and ministers and what have you. And I went to one, he had to be a Scottish man, didn't he, to say. And Stuart was talking about giving away Bibles. And he was showing him one of these, our PWT. And James, in his own inimitable way, said, "Brother," he said, "that is not a Bible." He said, "It's a New Testament." And how true that is. We only have one Bible, and that we haven't got one there today. There is one. It's a personal worker's Bible. But remember the brown one, and that's the one that you find in all your, whenever you stay, hopefully, in your hotels. Anyway, before I actually read this, can I just share a prayer request with you, a very urgent prayer request. As you know, I sing in the Cheltenham Male Voice Choir, and last evening it was our rally, and our leader was actually on the platform, the little platform they have, and he was conducting us to in singing one of the pieces, and there were men from various choirs around the sort of Wales and Bristol area and what have you, and even down up as far as Bolton. And he just literally keeled over to the right and fell off the podium. And I rang his wife this morning. He was obviously, the paramedic came very quickly and he was taken away in an ambulance. And the result is that he has got a deep brain bleed, and he's paralysed down the right side, unable to speak, and he's in the Gloucester stroke unit. They said if it had been nearer the top, they could have, you know, operated last night and done something, but it's deep into the brain apparently. So I promised his wife this morning that we would pray for him in our individual prayers, and we'll remember him again. I'll bring you up to date on Wednesday evening when we meet. Anyway, we're reading from Psalm 119, and as we've been reminded, it's a long psalm, and we're going to go in at verse 89, and it says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. Stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless." I was, this morning before I came out, I'd prepared my little sermon, or whatever you like to call it, my little talk, a week or so back. But I was just sat down this morning, going over what it was, and I took the Oxford Dictionary that was to hand, and I was thinking about it. The verse is, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal, stands firm in the heavens." You know, we use these words, don't we? And sometimes Jean loves doing crosswords. And often she'll call across to me in the lounge if I'm doing something else. And she'll say, "What's another word for so-and-so, you know?" And you know the words, but, you know, always trying to find another word for it is not that easy. And we use the word eternal, probably, as Christians, we probably use the word every day at least once, and maybe even more. So I looked up in the dictionary what eternal was. And it says, "That always has existed and will exist. Eternal life or eternal punishment. The eternal God, the eternal city, heaven. Unchanging, everlasting." And I don't know whether you're like me, but, you know, I sometimes think about eternity, as no doubt we all do as Christians. And, you know, we've read this morning, we've been reminded of how many of those testaments were given out to the troops in the First World War. We're told, aren't we, that over a million men and women lost their lives. Terrible to think about it. And, you know, what went through my mind when Clive was reading that was the fact that, you know, all those people, there was a million people just involved in the war. I presume that's British troops. I don't think that included Germans or others, the million. But, you know, when you think about this world and all the people that have lived and are living and will continue to live until the Lord comes. And I know that a vast amount will not be in heaven because they've rejected God's offer of mercy to them. But on the other hand, how many folk are going to be in heaven? It's going to be a big place, isn't it? And, you know, we often talk about the fact that we're going to meet up with our loved ones. And it's a lovely thought, wonderful thought. You know, I often think that it would be great to meet my dad, who, you know, I lost when I was a boy of 12, coming up 13. But we don't know that. The scripture don't tell us that we're actually going to meet these people, but it's there. And so it is that when you think about eternity, you know, it's going to go on forever. And unless you've perhaps got a different brain to me, I can't really, in all honesty, get my head around the word eternity. It's just something, you know, we often use the example, don't we, of a ring, speaking of eternity. You know, there's no start and no end to a ring. That's why we give our wives and our husbands rings when we get married and so on. We, you know, we're married for life, supposedly. But for Christians, it usually is, isn't it? But it's a concept, as I say, that we can't really always comprehend. But, you know, the psalmist says, "Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures." And I thought of that verse in Hebrews 13, where it tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a wonderful thought that is. What a comforting thought to know that that Saviour that we put our trust in, for some of us, many, many years ago. For me, it's longer than some of you have lived. I was only 10 when I realised I needed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And so it is that that Saviour who I trusted on the 7th of September 1953 is still the same today and will be on into eternity. No wonder we love giving out these scriptures to people in hope, in our prayers, that they will come to know the same Saviour as we know. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it says. And Genesis 1, you know, we've just been... Jean and I were out on another presentation a week last Tuesday. And there was a gentleman there who reminded us, I already knew something of it, but teachers, if this law goes through at the moment that's come about because of this Muslim business in Birmingham, because of that, it means that teachers could be lose their jobs if they actually start to promote the fact of creation, that God created this world. And yet when we take our Bible and we open it, what's the first words that we read? In the beginning, God created the world. And so we need to, another thing we need to be praying about and doing. And then, of course, we go to, we're reminded in Colossians, and that wonderful, I was going to read it, but we haven't got time, but I suggest when you go home, open your Bibles at Colossians 1 and read from verse 15 through to verse 23. Some of the most amazing words in the scriptures, I think, that tells us about the supremacy of our Saviour. Yes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and things in earth, visible and invisible. And so on. So that's the person that we are seeking to present to the children, to the young people, and so on. And that's the one that we've come to remember. And so it was that in 2011, it was the 400th anniversary of the King James or Authorized Version of the Bible. And so it is that, you know, we could talk about lots of things if we had a bit more time. But today I just want to guide you to two or three scriptures that we can, or three or four, that we I want you to take away with you. Psalm 119, again, this is what the scriptures say about themselves. The psalmist tells us, your word, O Lord, it stands firm in the heavens. And we've read that, that's 119:18. But 152 says, long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Yes, this, we've seen some little Old Testaments this morning that Clive's shown us. This is a brand new one. But eventually, with use, it will look like some of those. The hope is that it's read, and so it is that we do that. And Isaiah realized in chapter 40 when he wrote his book, and he says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Do we believe this? You know, as Christians, do we really believe these words that we read in the Bible? I trust that we do. And it should indeed, make us the more ready to not only read it for ourselves, but to encourage others to read it. And the Lord Jesus said, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. He was talking to folk, and he was talking about his word, God's word, the Bible, as we know it today. And in that same gospel, the last chapter, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Yes, 400 years we've had the authorized version. I made one, two notes what I was going to share with you if time's gone. But we know that we owe it to William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, who were involved in the translation of the Bible from Latin into to English that we can read. And so it is that we should value these things. And Peter reminds us that the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. 1 Peter 1:25. So as I close, can we stand by and say nothing? Surely the time is now when we have to speak up and be counted. Again, going to 1 Peter, he encourages us and he tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect. And you know, I probably can't finish on a better word than that. We need to be bold in our approach, but we need to be those who do it with gentleness and with respect. And so I trust this morning that as we've spent time, I had a lovely testimony to share with you, but maybe some other time I'll share it with you, that we heard in the at our convention a couple of weeks ago. And of a young man who desperately wanted to have a Bible, and what he did to do it. And when he got it, he read it. He got a New Testament to start with at school, a little red one at school. And he read it, and so he got his Bible. And through the reading of that Bible, that New Testament, and the Bible, he's from a Hindu background. The whole family are now believing Christians. Yes, it's a great book. And do you love reading it? I certainly do. And boring? Never. But you know, I can remember a period in my life when I was a young fellow when I did find it boring. But not anymore. I just love to read that part. And I trust that that's the case for every one of us this morning. Trust these, what we've done this morning will encourage you. And again, I'd like to thank you as a church for your generosity. We heard at our meeting on Tuesday of the wonderful gift that you've just sent us to help us in our continuing work in the schools and wherever. We're going to close with singing Thy Word. Yes, Father, we thank you that your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is, although man has tried to eradicate it on so many occasions, We thank you, Lord, that it's still the world's bestseller. Now, Father, we thank you for the work of the Gideons that we've been hearing about this morning. Those of us who are involved in that work, we thank you for it. Lord, it's such a rewarding work. And we, our prayer is that as we seek to give out these scriptures, that people will read them. And through the reading, as we've seen from the DVD this morning, that truly your word does bring light. It speaks for itself. And our desire is, Lord, that as we go away this morning, we will be encouraged to follow the work with our prayers and maybe with our giving. We thank you, Lord, for the generosity of this church to the work of the Gideons and other churches too. And our Father, we thank you for Charles Letts, our printers, who print these scriptures at such good prices, competitive prices. And our Father, we just thank you for all your goodness to us in the work. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless your word, even as it's being given out at this moment in some part of this world, even probably in this country. So, Lord, we give you thanks for your help this morning. And we just pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us. We think again of those four schools that we didn't get into last year. Father, we just pray that you will touch the hearts of people who have it in their grasp to invite us in, that they'll invite us back this year so that we can give the scriptures out to those children, maybe those who missed out last year too. So, our Father, we bring these things to a close now, and we thank you for all your goodness to us. And we just pray, Lord, now that you bless our further fellowship together, and as we part the one from the other, that you'll take us to our homes in safety. Bless us as we continue throughout this day. May our thoughts continue to be of you. We ask it, Lord, as we give thanks in your most worthy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for your interest and for your help in the work.